Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Puzzle of Love podcast. I am your host, your sucker for love host, Dante, with the lovely
Selena.
And we are here with another fabulous couple, Marcus and Riley. Marcus and Riley, introduce yourselves and say hi to the people.
What's up? Hi.
Thank you guys for joining. As always, we kick it off with a nice little quick game for our couples to play to give us the opportunity to learn a little bit about your origin story. So the game is that you have to tell us your story in 2 minutes. Each of you get 1 minute to add to the story. One of you will go first. We'll let you know when your minute is up. And the second will have to pick up where the first left off. And we'll see how far we can get into your story. There are no rules other than you probably don't want to interrupt to try to correct your spouse or partner, because everyone sees the story a little bit differently. And certainly if you go second, I wouldn't suggest you spend any of your time trying to amend what was said in the first minute. Just pick up and leave off. Marcus, you won to determine the order. So are you going first, or is Riley going to kick us off? You're going first?
I'm going first.
All right. When you get the time? All right. 3, 2, 1.
It started off with Computer Love. I believe it's called Plenty of Fish. If for those that don't know, that's online dating. And that's how we met. I had a banging profile. She liked it. And then our first time actually meeting was at the Zoo Lights in Tacoma. And that's when we actually met up. And it's funny because we met right after I quit my job. And then after we stayed there for like 2 hours, 3 hours talking, she wanted me to drive her back to her car, and I'm driving her back. Took like 30 minutes to find her car because she didn't remember where she parked. And after I found her car, we get on the freeway to go home. My car breaks down. So I had to pull off onto the shoulder, and she pulls behind me and goes, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I'm good." so then she was like, "You need help?" I'm like, "No, I'm good. I got it." One, I don't know how to fix a car, so I didn't want to tell her that. Two, I had no money to fix a car.
Okay.
So,
yes.
We did meet on Plenty of Fish. I thought your profile was pretty great. But the way it happened is you can look at like who has like looked at your profile, and I kind of skipped over his. And then like the next day, I want to say, or something like that. And he was like, "Hey, I noticed you stopped by but didn't say anything." And then the conversation kind of went on from there, and we did meet at at the zoo. It was pretty incredible. We talked the whole time. I mean, we talked back and forth, but he was very passionate about anything and everything about his job and what happened that day. It was good conversation, very good conversation. And then, yeah, he did break down on the side of the freeway. I was kind of confused. He didn't really tell me he broke down. I just thought he like, maybe, I don't know. I don't even know. He stopped and I was like, "Is anything I can help you with?" And he's like, "No." And then a couple hours later, I find out he broke down, and then we've been just going ever since. Right?
All right, fine.
Okay, all right. Do you want to try to recap that story, or should I do it?
What I heard was that you guys met online dating, which I didn't know. So that's cool to know.
Yep.
Online dating, and you just kind of hit it off and then met at the Zoo Light, and then left, and your car broke down. Well, first, you couldn't find your car, right?
Right.
For like 30.
I was so nervous. I just parked anywhere. I was like,
you know who you were meeting. You just
right
pulled in and forgot where you parked.
Yeah.
And so then the gentleman looked for your car for 30 minutes. He didn't just drop you off anywhere. He made sure you got to your car, and
yes.
Then he got in his car, and it stopped on him. So did you go home, or like how did that?
We'll make sure it's clear. I lived 15 minutes away. So if I didn't try that 30 minute drive, I would have been broke down at my house.
Whoa. Let's roll that back though. Because when we got to his car wouldn't start. He had to ask somebody to jump him. So that's not.
So that was the first indicator that your car was not.
Well, I'm sorry.
So did you just leave him there or?
Yep. He told me to keep going.
So you went home and went to sleep and he was done.
I didn't go to sleep. I was a little worried.
You was resting and he was. Out in the cold.
It was cold
because the zoo lights happen when it's cold.
Right. It was November, yes.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine that there's a lot of still a story to tell, considering the fact that that was your first date. And here we are, married with children, no pun intended, right? So let's kind of go into... not to just necessarily fast forward, but let's just go into the covenant that is Marcus and Riley. There's elements to you guys' relationship that I really admire. So I want to just call it out because I feel like you guys should be given your flowers. You two are parents of both a child that you guys have brought into this world and also a child that you have not brought into this world. So you guys have a very unique dynamic when you throw that term out there that's used very often, blended families, right? Your family is blended in a very unique way. You kind of talk about, because that's not something that, well, you guys talk about it. I'm not even going to put anything else on it. You guys talk about your dynamic and how that has strengthened and in any way that it may have been sort of like a hurdle or a challenge.
Yeah. In regards to the relationship. So our oldest, Kehlani, she's 12. I came into her life when she was 3. And she's... I know you. She's the daughter of Riley's sister, mm-hmm. and her sister passed away when she was 23.
Yeah.
So she was young. She passed away, and then, yeah. But then, no, we didn't take over custody at that moment. Actually, her mom took over custody.
Yeah, my mom and dad took over custody, but from day one, I've been there raising Kehlani, basically with my mom. And my sister was involved too somewhat, but after she passed, it was just mainly, it was the whole family, but me and my mom. And so it was really important to me when I found that person that I was going to spend the rest of my life with, that they knew that Kehlani was going to be a part of it no matter what. And so I think that's what made Marcus so special to me, because he was loving and accepting of her in our situation with all that it came with.
I have to say, I recognized from an early on that she was thirsting for a father,
a family, yeah,
for a family, father, a mom, a sister, a brother,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And she was everyone in her family was either TT, grandma, grandpa, uncle. She didn't have any. She didn't have a dad. She didn't have a mom, and she made it known. Mm-hmm. That's what she wanted. And she looked at me like I was it. So I assumed it.
Yeah, it's been pretty great.
And I mean, you guys have a child of your own, right? So you can understand when I say that there's something to be said about the instantaneous love that you have for a child that's yours, right?
Right.
And to have that same, maybe not instantaneous, but that same level of love for someone that you're rearing. And, for me, it sounds scary when you articulate it this way, but being a parent, like, you're literally like their world in a sense, right? Like, you are their source of truth. You are you are the law to them. You're sort of their test as well, because they kids love to test boundaries.
They will test boundaries.
but you know, to have that level of dedication and love to a child who isn't necessarily your own, whether they're kin to you, not kin to you, whatever the case may be, I admire that. And I, like I said, I think that it's something to be said. And you guys, you know, marriage in itself is a difficult thing to manage, right? And we come from a unique, well, not a unique perspective, but we come from a perspective where we entered our marriage as a family of two and then adjusted to a family of three. You guys started off already as a family of three. And that, you know, that's something that to be said. So, you know, talk about, you know, sort of that transition between, because Kehlani was already there, right? And I'm sure that there was a difference between Marcus, Riley, and Kehlani pre-I do and post.
I think the transition came, I kind of established myself as her dad before the marriage. When did we, I mean, no, that's, it was actually, excuse me, it was actually afterwards because, right?
Yeah,
because your mom passed in 2016.
Yeah, it was after. It was like a year.
We got married in 2015. Her mom passed in 2016. And at that point, I kind of felt like I had to step up and show that I was capable of taking care of a family. You know,
right.
I had to show her dad and her brother that I'm capable. And then that was when I bought a house in 2017, my first house in 2017. To get them out of an apartment living situation. And so after we got married, it became, and we kind of, she was calling me Marcus for the longest time. I hated it. But I could tell she wanted to call me dad. So I told her to start calling me dad. It was really awkward at first, but then she embraced it. And now it's normal. It rolls off her tongue like it's supposed to.
Yeah, it was smooth, but not, it was kind of a rough transition at first. I think the whole situation, because she was used to, after my sister died, she was used to living with my mom and, you know, like her rules, her house, that kind of thing. And then after my mom passed and losing another parent, you know, then she came to live with us. And so her like first half of her life was kind of, it was a struggle. It was hard, but it was hard, Marcus. Losing two parents, that's very hard. It was hard for me. And then having to adjust. And then I would, you know, my mom and I raised, we're starting one way. Marcus kind of came in and wanted to change things up a little bit. And that kind of threw us all through a loop at first. but we've got, I mean, we're in a good place now. So, but at first it was a little bumpy getting to this place, like being called TT and then, or, you know, like her aunt. And now then it's like, okay, call me mom. That was a little different at first, but that's what I've always wanted from day one. That's what I've always wanted, was because I've helped raise her since she came out of the womb. So, and I always felt like I was her mom.
No, that's a blessing that you guys were able to do that for her, you know, and just raise her like your own.
That's a blessing.
And so you have her, you know, and Kehlani, and your youngest is far apart. So how is that when, you know, you guys, when you got pregnant, you know, how was that? How does she react to that? How was that? How did that dynamic change? She was the only one for a while. So
yeah.
So she was probably the most excited of all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, she was, you know, like we, since Jen has been born, she's been raised as her little sister, not her little cousin.
Right.
And, and we made certain to, and that was why it was really imperative that, you know, Kehlani got comfortable calling me dad before Jada even came around.
Mm-hmm.
So she did get comfortable calling me dad, got comfortable calling her mom. So now the comfortableness is sitting, it's rested in it. And she didn't seem like she has a strong recollection of everything prior, if that makes sense. If she, and when I ask her about it, I was like, I'm a big big on talking. So we'll have our talks late at night, you know, when she says her prayers, and I'll just ask her, it's almost like her mind's kind of blocked out all the negative steps that left up to this moment. And she has a really good memory too.
No, she was really excited about Jada, and she wants another sibling right now. But I just think because she wanted that family dynamic for so long, she was so excited. Like she couldn't wait, and very helpful. And it was hard because when we first had Jada, she couldn't be around her for like a week. I think she was like sick, or Jada was sick or something like that. And so, they're sisters for sure. They fight like cats and dogs. They love each other. It doesn't feel any sort of way. Like, I mean, at least, I don't feel that they have any weirdness between at all. So, and Jada doesn't really know anything different. She doesn't know anything. Yeah, so,
Kehlani's super protective of her.
Yeah.
Very protective of her.
And I
adore that.
So, yeah.
And that's how I told her how important family was. And I explained to her role. You know, and she's finally going to be that little baby anymore. And there's someone looking up to you, and when you tell her what to do, she has to listen because, you know, you're 12 and she's 3. So, Kehlani embraces that. She's bossy to begin with.
But now Jada tries to run the show. So,
that's kind of how our, we obviously have a 12 and 3-year-old, and the 3-year-old definitely
runs the household, right? Or cried.
To them, he's like, our 12-year-old was just saying today, he doesn't listen to me. Sorry.
Kehlani said the same thing today. I'm like, sorry, they're 3.
He's 3. I don't know.
Yeah. So. You got to remind her how old he is.
I know.
How old she is.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So I think now would be a great time to take a quick break. And we usually go into a break with some music for folks to listen to, and Marcus, you picked our first segment. This is a song off of, it slips my memory on what soundtrack, but you'll tell me what soundtrack it is. More by Jodeci.
Oh yes, Jason's lyric,
that's right. So stay tuned, we'll be back on the other side.
Could we get a room on the south side of the ghetto? Could we make sweet love within the forest or meadow? Can we
get it on
when the sun gives light? Could we just kiss each other like it was our very, very, very first time? Baby, please give me some
Right, and we're back to chop it up with Marcus and Riley. Marcus, you referenced back in 2017 having bought your first house. And this is sort of a softball question for you, but it gets us into a deeper topic because I know you're passionate about it. About 45% of Black homes are owned instead of rented versus 73% of white homes that are owned versus rented. Two-part question. Why is it so important to you to purchase a home as a Black person or Black man? And what are some myths that you would urge people to debunk, or just, that's not true, get that mental block out of your head? What are some myths?
Okay, to your first question, is it's important because you cannot retire successfully without owning a home and paying it off. If you have your mortgage payment is the largest payment that the average American will make in their lifetime on a monthly basis. And when you retire, you're going to go on fixed income. Even if you're a hustler, you can't hustle the same at the age of 60 as you can at the age of 30. You don't have the energy. So your objective is during your youth, use that wisely and get all of your debt paid off so that when you enter into your old age and you can't hustle the same, you have your four walls and a roof over your head paid off in full. You enter into your elder age on fixed income, and more often than not, you get tax breaks. So you end up paying like $60 a year for your taxes. So your biggest expense comes out. It ends up becoming your hazard insurance, your homeowner's insurance, and that's just how the cookie crumbles. And that's for every state in the country. What was the second question?
The second question was about myths. Since the disparity is so low, right? Only 45% of Black homes are owned. So that means more than half of us in America don't own our homes. And there's got to be some myths out there that are really pushing that number or keeping that number down, right? So what are some myths that you would share when it comes to the home buying experience, home ownership in general?
Mm-hmm.
What are some myths out there that you're used to?
The very first myth I would share is that the bank owns your home. The bank owns your home. So people are like, why buy it? The bank owns it. You owe the bank. You have to pay it back every month. People don't realize that every time you pay it back, a chunk of what you just paid into it is now it goes back to you. The bank does not own your equity. You own that. So if you get into a bind, if you fall upon hard times, you can sell your home and cash in on whatever equity is available. You know, and that's a myth that a lot of people seem to understand, think that the bank owns your home. The bank does own your home, which is true, but the bank doesn't own your equity. That's yours. It's just not liquid. It's not liquid and available for you, readily available for you. So if you're renting a house and you fall upon hard times and you got to get out of that rental, you're probably going to get hit with some fees, early termination fees. You're not going to get hit with that if you have to sell your house. You're going to sell your house, pay off the mortgage, walk away with whatever the equity's in it. In this state, if you bought a house in 2019, odds are you got almost $200,000 in equity in your house. So if you sell it and walk away, you move to Texas where it's cheaper, you know, that, and then start a new life. And that's all because you made the decision to buy a house. You know, equity builds. And unless you're in an area like in a distressed area like Detroit or so, your house is not going to depreciate. It's only going to appreciate. And that's all money.
Gotcha. And just for any listeners out there who, and these aren't dumb questions, right? Like I said, there's tons of us who are just completely ignorant to the fact, and ignorant doesn't mean dumb. Ignorant just means without the information. Mm-hmm. So you used a few words that I'm familiar with, but someone who doesn't own a home might not be familiar with. So you mentioned equity, which is something that banks don't own. But you did mention that banks do own your home or your mortgage, right? So your mortgage is your loan on the home. Your equity is fill in the blank. What is equity?
Your equity is the amount, the difference between what your house is worth and what the bank owns. So if you took out a loan for $200,000 and then your house ends up being worth $250,000, the bank owns the $200,000 and that extra, the difference between the $200,000 and the $250,000 you own. So that would be $50,000 of equity for you.
Gotcha. And then every month when I'm paying my mortgage, the amount that the bank owns decreases every month too, because I'm making a payment, right?
In your payment, you're paying principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and for some people, an additional insurance. So the principal piece of that payment gets deducted every single month. And in the beginning portions of your loan, it's called an amortization schedule. The beginning portions of your loan is where they're taking the most interest and the least amount of principal. So the longer you stay in that loan, the larger the principal payments get.
Gotcha. So you're paying off your mortgage in larger chunks month after month after month.
Correct.
Gotcha. And the typical loan on a home is how long?
30 years. Standard is 30 years. And to add to the into the Black community, most of us have been taught that if you need something, go to a bank. The bank is considered a jack of all trades. You know, like the bank can give you insurance, it can give you a homeowner's insurance, a car, it can give you bank checking, savings, a CD, help you pay, invest in the stock market. But there's individual companies that specialize in each one of these areas, like mortgages, for example, or auto loans. Most banks do not like risk. And the problem with Black America is that most of us have bad credit. So if you walk into Wells Fargo and apply for a loan, and you have a 580 credit score, they're going to deny you. But you can walk into a mortgage specialist, and more often than not, they'll offer you a loan with a zero down payment. Or excuse me, zero down down payment to get into the house.
Gotcha. So you could potentially purchase a home without a lot of cash up front, which is another myth that
you could not advise though.
Not advise, but it is possible.
Yeah. So for me personally, I don't advise people. I don't advertise zero down programs because a lot of times people will buy a house and have no way to fix it once they get there. And you know, the pipes burst, X, Y, and Z happens, and you're butt out. You know, you just can't pay for anything. For you know it, and when you first move into the house, usually you don't have equity, so you can't just turn around and sell it like that. You got to be there for a while. And mm-hmm. if you end up moving into a poor property, it could be a bad situation. But nonetheless, more people come out on top with using zero down programs than others. I used one to get into my house. So if that makes sense, but it's like on a case by case basis, it makes sense for certain people. But if you're dead broke, I don't recommend it. You got to have something in the bank. You know what I mean? Like a couple thousand in case of an emergency.
And just for reference, we're not just talking because of any, you know, life. Well, we are drawing from life experience, but you professionally, this is your realm, correct?
This is my realm. Yeah, correct.
Gotcha.
So I'm a mortgage loan officer, but I'm professionally speaking from my experiences when I bought my house. You know, we had a nest egg. I didn't want to spend it all on the house. So I got approved for a down payment program. But there's a lot of people who want to get approved for the down payment program and they have nothing in their account. They have no savings, no 401k, no retirement, no anything. I'm like, you're not exactly a prime candidate to be purchasing a house right now.
Right.
You got to figure out your root cause. What's keeping you from being able to have something in savings? You know, are you spending it all? You know, and that's what you got to, like, buying a house is not exactly where you should be.
Gotcha.
You can't call a landlord and have them come fix. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that most of us are used to, just calling a landlord. You can't do that when you own a house. You got to get out and fix it yourself, mm-hmm. or pay for it.
Well, I appreciate the expertise and the insight.
For sure.
We can speak from firsthand experience. The home that we're in is our first home.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful place.
I appreciate you. Thank you. As fate would have it, I was one of those who was advocate for, I can get a house without any down payment. Sign me up for the first program that you accept. As fate would have it, we actually were denied the down payment programs. We did not qualify. So we had to, as you mentioned, we had to go conventional and figure it out, which sucked for, you know, my mental state. I didn't want to touch any savings or fundraise for, this is a huge chunk of change that we're talking about, right?
There's some
things that I could do with that money. But to your point, it's been the best decision we've ever made. And as long as, you know, that monthly payment is made every month, we have a roof over our heads for the rest of our lives and our kids, their kids. Our middle son, our 9-year-old, has already declared he does not want to move ever. So this is his life. This is his house for life, is what he calls it. Because we often talk about, you know, this is our starter home. So we, at some point, we will transition. He doesn't like that conversation at all. But transitioning to another topic, you guys gave us some really good answers when we asked you to do the pre-screener for the survey. And one of the questions that everyone asks is the top attributes when it comes to defining love. I want to point out what you guys said individually, which hopefully is a shock to the both of you, because hopefully you didn't share your answers with each other. Marcus, you said that your top three attributes were honesty, loyalty, and trust. And Riley picked four instead of three. Hers are friendship, intimacy, trust, and humor.
Oh, wait. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, as you hear that about your partner / spouse, what about that surprises you? And what about that is sort of par for the course as you hear that?
Nothing surprises me.
Really? Why?
Because I know you. That's why. Everything you said, all
I know those things are super important to you, but I thought like you would have added like humor, and you know what I mean? Because you're always just about like,
but you're not
the
funny.
Fun.
But I that would be me saying like I want someone's funny if I don't. Will that make
okay?
What?
Thank you.
Like she doesn't come out. She's not like she's like I don't need her to be funny. Is what I'm saying. And
okay.
You don't look for that in somebody else. They don't have to.
Exactly. That's what she looks for.
That way.
I'm the goofy one here.
Yes.
But you like humor. Right.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
you. You like for him.
I do like it, even though sometimes you can just pick and go, and you know, just. But I do enjoy the humor. It keeps our house like lively and going, and the kids love it. And he's constantly like scaring everybody or trying to make someone laugh. Like it's never a dull moment with you in this house.
Have you watch a lot of stand-up comedy, right? I'm not a stand-up comedian in any shape or form. I'm not saying I am. There's not a comedian. There's not a comedian that's like considered great that can make people laugh every single time. You can't, every joke isn't gonna make people laugh. But I guarantee you that comedian said it because he laughed internally. I do stuff that make me laugh. You don't like it? It's not my fault. It makes me laugh. And your reaction to
we've had this conversation recently.
Yeah, her reaction will influence my like I'm not I wouldn't I would stop if you stopped giving me the reaction I'm looking for.
I mean like okay.
I'm looking for that reaction. You gave it to me.
I can't help it. You walk around the corner like quietly and scared the living daylight out of me. You know, I like not expecting you and there you are. And I don't know. Okay.
So you have the humor. Your humor is more messing with people. Like it's not really like.
I would say
you're not telling jokes. You're more like, you know, scaring people.
I'm definitely not a joke.
Turning off lights when you're in the shower.
No,
okay. That's like that.
That's what's that? What's it called? Frat boy cap of humor. I don't do that type of stuff.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So what do you? What kind
of? I'm not throwing cold water on you while you're in the shower.
Okay. So what do you do? What?
I make this noise. Yeah, I make this noise that sounds like an animal. If you're not paying attention, it sounds like a legit animal. So I'm like,
all the time, like all get scared. He gets scared this morning. It's funny like,
if they're like cooking or something, like
yeah, like cooking, like over a hot stove, and here comes this like noise.
Wait, do it again. He did it.
But you don't. But Riley, you. I mean, you don't see it coming. You don't. You know, you
sometimes, but I mean, sometimes I can kind of hear it when he like sneaks down the stairs. Like he's not as quiet because you know. Sometimes I can you know I'm expecting it, but a lot of times no, because I'm like doing what I'm like I'm into whatever I'm doing, you know what I mean, like whether it's cooking or I don't know, but it just scares me every time. I can't like I don't know. Or it's the walk up, the sneak up behind you, and all of a sudden you turn around and there he is, you know, like Okay.
Hello. I don't like that. I don't like that type of humor.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah. I mean,
sometimes I like to be scared. Good, but, I don't like to do that. But
I don't sneak up on you, do I?
No, Dante is definitely the. I think I'm friendly.
But she I think that... a goof ball. Oh my Dante gosh! If I can get hidden cameras in this place,
no, we're not going there.
She is hilarious.
Dante is funny. Yeah. He makes me laugh. He always has made me laugh. That's one of the things I really like about him. But I don't like the scaring and stuff. Like sometimes he would try to scare me by. I think earlier in marriage he would like. Jump out of places and stuff, or
yeah,
you know, be hiding behind. And I'm looking, you know, like coming in the house looking for him, and he's like sitting there. That I don't like that, so he's learned that.
I still, every now and again, I'll still walk in, like she's usually in the kitchen on her phone. And it's when I can tell, like, she's in her phone, I'll walk very quietly up to her and very, very slowly. Get closer to the back of her neck, and then she'll jump.
I don't have to be on my phone. It can be any. I can be doing anything.
No, but usually you are on your phone. You don't have to be on your phone, but usually you are. Whatever you're into, you're into. So you're kind of zoned out. Yeah, and she, you know, she does that quick jump, and I always say, "Yeah, I still got it," and then I walk off.
It's crazy because it's similar. Because if she's in her phone, I'll walk up, and like I have two options. It's either. or I'm just gonna stand.
Yeah, you just like you. And it's
turn, and it's then when turn. You turn around, he's right there.
I love it.
But he doesn't just do that. Like there's other things. There's like other he things. Can those be
the,
funny.
Those
like
those are the men.
Yeah.
I'm proud of
him. Tease the girls, you know, that kind of thing, or tries to get her eyes out of me and get my goat.
Get you what?
My goat.
Goat?
Get your goat?
Try to get a rise out of me. Yeah.
That's a new one. Get your goat.
Is that new for you too?
I grew up on
never heard of it. I'm Googling it as soon as the show's over.
like greatest of all time, get your great goat.
Yes, true. Yeah, Dante's always messing with the kids, and sometimes they're annoyed. And other times, most of the time, they like it, but the oldest one, he seems like he doesn't want to be bothered, but he...
Yeah, I annoy my oldest son.
On purpose. It's like, oh my God, just leave him alone. Leave him alone.
It's sort of payback for all the things that... Listen, I tell my kids this all the time. Parenting is hard enough. Kids make it harder. And if you're really a parent, that resonates with you. Like, it makes no sense to them when I say it, but it makes complete sense to me. Parenting is hard enough as it is. Kids make it harder. Say that to your kids and just watch how confused they get.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever need them to leave a room, this is a trick that I've learned. Confuse them, and they'll just walk away. So with my 12-year-old, one of my tactics is, if I annoy him, he'll go upstairs. And he'll leave me alone. I can't annoy the 3-year-old. Apparently, he thinks everything that I do is funny.
You're the hero.
Yeah, it's you know, it's my gift and my curse, I guess.
Yeah, gift and a curse. More gift than curse.
Absolutely. It's usually a curse when the kids want to play with you as soon as the football game kicks off. They always find the perfect time to want to do an activity.
Yeah, he leaves.
Where do you go? Where are you?
Anywhere but here.
Well, I'm passionate. I get into the game. Yeah. I don't like to cuss around my kids. I don't like to do any of that. I don't want them to see a hooligan, you know. And I'm a little hooliganish. You know, I might meet up with a couple of friends and go to the bar. There's a bar downtown, Gallup. It's a what's it called? The forum, the best pretzel sticks you'll ever have. And I don't even like pretzel sticks.
And he said a lot of times it's, there's not a lot of
people. Nobody in there. It's wonderful. I'm like, yes. So, like, people, like, it's not exactly a sports bar, so people don't go there to watch the game. You know, I don't even go there now because of COVID. And if I go there, there's no one else there. So I'm like, this is perfect.
Gotcha.
Or he'll go to our garage.
Or the garage.
But yeah. Then Jada likes to, I want to watch football. Yeah.
It's cute. Yeah.
Nope. Don't have that space. Living room.
Living room.
Yep. Well, yeah. I mean, you can upstairs.
I could watch. I mean, I'm never really in our room to watch the game. Like, I want the TV. I want to yell. I want the surround sound. And literally,
and Desiree, yeah, he
as soon as the kickoff happens, he calls me to do something. I'm like, you have two brothers that are way cooler than me.
Nope. I wanted to ask. You, Riley, put attribute intimacy. When mm-hmm. you say intimacy, like, what do you view as intimacy? Everybody has something different.
Well, intimacy is a lot of things, I feel. But for me, what it was is like connecting, like at night, just, you know, the cuddling, the talking, the, you know, just kind of being one with each other, not necessarily like having sex or anything right. but just like, well, but I mean, you know what I mean? Just vibing, that kind of thing. We don't do that as much anymore. Talking. No, not just talking. It's more than that. It's just like, it's the connection. It's the so cuddle. Oh my gosh. Okay. Marcus, yeah.
This is her answer.
I didn't mean to.
Are you sure?
No, I'm probably going to continue.
Yeah. I feel like part of it is like the after sex part of it. You know what I mean? Like the cuddling, the being one with each other, that kind of thing.
It's usually sleep.
Oh my gosh.
So you want me to stay, not go to sleep?
No, I think what she's saying is the back. Right? Like before, like the, I mean, I think on the same lines, I think the all day, like what happens throughout the day that connects us as husband and wife and not mm-hmm. just the action.
Right.
The happening, because I mean, intimacy, I you have to be connected emotionally and, you know, all that for that to even happen first.
Right.
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
What's life like as a having three boys?
I'll let you ask that to the only female of the household.
Well, I think it's definitely lots of energy. I mean, they're fun though. They're always in play mode. Like I think our oldest one. I mean, he kind of picks and chooses when he wants to be the cool. You know, cool guy, and then when he wants to act like a kid, you know, so he but yeah, I mean, they're always playing and running and jumping, and so I think being the only female in the house has its pros, and then I think sometimes I feel like, dang, I'm the only one here, I can't do no nails, I can't,
right?
So they're like, you know, playing with Dante and wrestling when he would go to the office when he would come back home. I mean, they would jump on him and grab him and pull him down to the ground. And I'm just standing back recording. So, you know, times like that, I'm just like, okay, you know, it'd be cool to have somebody that I can, you know, do some low key stuff with. So I'm like, I'm not a jungle gym, and I'm not my body is not, like, we're not jumping on me and grabbing me and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. but no, it's fun. I think they you know, bring a lot of joy and fun. So.
Oh yeah, I get to be the fun parent. That's the cool thing about having the boys, is that I get to be just. She says it all the time. She's like, "Do I have three children or four?" Because when we get going, the wrestling, the, you know, the whole superhero thing, I get to relive pieces of childhood with them, you know, with the whole Marvel Marvel thing. Yeah. They love the movies. They love the Disney Plus series that are out. So, you know, that's our thing. And, you know, Friday is usually movie night for us. And, you know, the kids are always the ones to pick. And Quinn is usually the odd man out because they're usually picking something she does not want to watch.
Marvel.
It's usually Marvel. Yeah. Yeah. Having three boys, it's a tall task. We, you know, we tried our hardest for that baby girl, and Desari was not having any of it.
You know why?
Yeah. And I say this all the time. I think that if our second was a girl, we might have pulled our chips from the table and just had two. Like, we got one of each, we're good. And I don't say that to say that I regret having a third because he ended up being a boy as well. I make it very clear that I love all of my children and they all have purpose. But having a girl in the house would add some balance to this household that just isn't there, because when all three of them are on level 10, for the most part, our 12-year-old is, he's too cool for school, so he'll mellow out. But when all three of them are on level 10, it's usually one or both of us are occupied with some household task, or, you know, I'm working from home because of COVID, so I'm still in the office, and it sounds like my house is being torn apart when I'm in the office. And it's just like, oh, I gotta find something for these guys to do outside the home. But,
and then I think that, and when you come upstairs, like, what are you guys doing? They're like, we're just playing hide and seek. I'm like, that's what that is?
it doesn't
sound that.
Hide and seek's supposed to be quiet.
Right. So, but they like to have fun for sure.
That's interesting.
Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, Marcus, how is it being the only male?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I love it. I believe I'm a certifiable girl dad is what they call it now, and I love it. I actually can't imagine having a boy. You know, I do find myself being extremely protective and doing things that I know I wouldn't do if I had a boy. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. But I love it. I just find myself, and it's a lot more. I do wish I could go and buy Spider-Man, Batman, and stuff, but she has no interest in it. Zero, zilch, at all. In fact, I remember about some years ago, you guys went to go see, Power Rangers. The new Power Rangers came out, and you guys all went to go see it, and she was like, that was the stupidest.
Yeah, she was.
She hated every second of it. Yeah, I was like, wow, okay. Duly noted.
Yeah.
She would rather.
I mean, Power Rangers has both in there. I mean, there's girls and boys. And I mean, as a kid, I was into the Power Rangers stuff.
She would rather.
Let me guess, you were the Pink Ranger, huh?
I was Pink Ranger.
Yeah. Who were you?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I was the Blue Ranger.
Blue? Riley?
Pink, but I didn't really watch it. I mean, off and on, like here and there, but not.
I was the Black Ranger until they changed it from a black kid to a white kid. I was upset.
I never liked his hairline, so I couldn't claim him.
I was too young to understand a hairline. Nah. I just saw myself. I was like, oh, you know, the token black kid that they had to cast for the show, they put him in a black costume. Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. I'm the Black Ranger. And black is one of my favorite colors.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, she was like, Kehlani was like, she would rather watch Hallmark movies.
Oh,
we watched them
too. They watch a lot of those. I can't sit through 5 minutes. This is
trash. That and like our cooking.
Hallmark movies, name one.
There's some good.
What's your favorite Hallmark movie?
Well, see.
Exactly.
I haven't watched it in a long time since I watched Hallmark.
Hallmark in you're probably thinking Lifetime.
No, I mean Hallmark movies. Like the Christmas movies and stuff, those are like Hallmark.
Yes.
Movies. Yeah.
We have a whole genre of black Christmas movies to watch, and you're watching Hallmark movies?
They have a lot of black Hallmark movies now.
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah. There's a lot of them.
Okay, let me know
within the like last couple years.
When you go, when you scroll through the whole thing, they're like, oh wait, oh, like, there's a whole line of black ones. Okay. Yeah.
The stories are kind of the same. I mean, it's kind of
They're all the same. Love stories.
If you've seen one, you've seen them all?
Yeah.
But since we're on this topic of like pop culture, I'm going to break guy code right now, Marcus.
What up?
Unless you've already told Riley this. So that the pre-screener, Marcus, you were actually one of the first of anyone to complete your pre-screener survey questions, right? And I would ping you periodically and say, hey, can you remind Riley to do it? And you're like, she hasn't done it yet. She hasn't done it yet. And most recently, you actually pinged me, I think, and said, has Riley done her survey? And I was like, nope, not yet. Still waiting on Riley. And you said, that's because she's a slacker. Like McFly. And then immediately text me and said, I'd be surprised if you understood that reference. So I'm putting you on blast because I'm breaking guy code and saying that you talked about your wife in text to me, calling her a slacker, because I was highly offended that you would ever question whether or not I would catch a McFly reference. Do you see the t-shirt that I'm wearing?
I see the t-shirt.
Do you see it?
I've been looking at the car.
Yeah. Do you see that? You see it?
I see it.
You see the DeLorean? And off camera, just so you know, I got this one too. I'm about that Back to the Future life. Don't ever. Right.
One, two, or three. Which one's better?
One, two, or three. Two is the best.
Thank you.
Three is always going to be the worst. I think the third of any trilogy is probably the worst. So it's kind of par for the course. The first one is amazing, but the second one's my favorite because you have the past, present, and future all in one movie.
Yeah. Yeah, second one's definitely the best one, without a shadow of a doubt. The third one, though, I loved it.
I love all three. I could ask her if I'm scrolling through and I see Back to the Future. Anything, all I have to do is see Back Two, and I'm going to it. It doesn't matter. Okay. I'm watching it.
You're like, oh damn, Back to School. I didn't mean that one.
Yeah, right. I get upset when it's not Back to the Future, but yeah, all three of them are. That's my favorite trilogy of all time.
He will watch the same one, two, or three every time they play.
Do you see this car? You wouldn't drive this?
I don't know. You have to watch it, though.
Would you drive this car, though?
Every single time.
You have an answer. God. Would you drive this car with the butterfly doors? Come
before
on, man.
That was before butterfly doors was a thing.
I know. Right?
The young poet Jeezy said, stunting is a habit, get like me. Have you ever seen the DeLorean with the butterfly doors? And she got me this DeLorean for Christmas. I was super pumped. But I have to hide it because the kids, well, mainly mainly Desari, the 3-year-old, thinks it is. But yeah, let's take a quick break and go into another song. I would say that Riley picked this song, but her answer to the song question was she doesn't have a favorite. She just likes 90s R&B, early 2000s. So anyone who doesn't like this song, blame Riley, because I just had to pick when I Google searched early 90s, 2000s. So we're going to go with If You Had My Love by Jennifer Lopez.
What?
Blame her. Not blame me.
You heard early 90s, you grabbed Jennifer Lopez.
If you Google, well, here was the first option. The first option was
99. Back That Thing Up.
No.
Pick that one.
Back That Thing Up is not an R&B song. What's wrong with you?
This is
a wholesome show. I said R&B. She said Back That Thing Up. She's ready to cut this show short.
This
was 99. What
does
it say? Is it 99, 2000?
Oh, okay. Cash Money Records taking over for the 99 and 2000. So your reference went to that?
Exactly.
Okay. I Googled early 2000s, 90s R&B. The first option was You Make Me Wanna by Usher. I didn't feel like that would be an appropriate song to segue because Marcus, I don't think you make her want to leave the one she's with. So I went to the second one, which was If You Had My Love. And I was like, probably not the best, but this is Riley's fault for making me choose because I shouldn't have.
I'm so sorry.
Don't apologize. Don't apologize.
There's so many good songs. I can't
just pick one. I can't believe he chose Jennifer Lopez.
He didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, the algorithm chose it.
Oh, there you go.
Here we go. J-Lo, If You Had My Love.
Your partner does you wish they could do 24/7?
What is something that they do that you wish? Over my back?
I do that a lot though.
But not 24/7. Oh, yes.
Rub my feet. I've been having like foot issues. We've been working out a lot. So that's something he used to do a lot. And now he kind of works a lot. So, and we have kids, all of that. So, you know, things kind of go by the wayside.
rubbing toes and rubbing back.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of rubbing going on. Babe, what would you want me to do? No, we're not even going to go in. Next, we're going to the next question.
Okay,
grits. This is a heated topic. We got to know. Butter and sugar or salt and pepper?
Butter and sugar.
Trash.
He doesn't eat them. We haven't had them in, like, I don't think we've ever had them together. But growing up, I had them.
You can take them and put them in the trash. Or the garbage disposal. That's what you can do with grits. Oh, Gritty. St. Grit City. You know, I'm eating grits. Grits? No.
What happened to you? Talk about it. This is a safe space. I just want to understand, what did grits do
to you? Have you ever tried them?
I love texture. Texture matters.
Well, he has a hard time with oatmeal too. I mean, eat it, but he doesn't love it. It's like he has to like choke it down. Like you don't like it.
So it's probably the texture.
Mm-hmm. Texture over everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I can't eat. That's why I only really like noodles.
You want to eat noodles?
Like I said, it feels like a worm.
Okay.
Oh my word.
A lot of fish I can't eat.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things that I can't eat too. The first thing you named that I actually can agree with you is fish.
You should put grits on that list of what you can't eat.
No, grits is amazing, especially.
But, how do you guys eat it?
But when I did eat it, it was butter, not salt.
Well,
butter and sugar, or butter and
butter and sugar.
That's the only way you should eat.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
You put salt. I'm the loner here. Yeah. I was the only one raised right and ate with salt and pepper. I think butter is automatic. So I don't even say butter, because if you don't put butter in your grits, what are you doing? But it's butter, salt, and pepper. If I wanted something sweet, I would just get oatmeal.
Well, there are 2 points for on this side.
We're running the tally. Don't worry. We're running the tally.
How many points have you made? Huh? Who's winning?
We'll see when we launch. Just know that no matter how many people vote butter and sugar, I'm going to die on the sword of salt and pepper. Next question, though.
Okay, ugly car with free gas for life, or ugly house, free rent for life.
Free rent or free mortgage? I'll take the ugly car.
It says free rent. So you don't have to pay. So whether it's rent, mortgage.
No. Rent.
Is it rent? Okay.
Yeah, so it's rent? Free. It don't matter. What are you talking about? It's free.
That's what I'm saying. Regardless of what it is.
No, it's not regardless. Because if you're renting for free, you don't own it.
Okay, so.
Mortgage renting. For free, you still own it. No, you have to pick whether you're renting a house for free.
That's ugly.
That's ugly.
Or an ugly car, but you get free gas.
I'll take the house.
Hey, the ugly house.
To get it for free doesn't mean I gotta live in it.
I would take the car, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would take the car. Even though I don't, I love her. I enjoy having a nice car.
So why would you take the ugly
car? Because I don't want to live in an ugly house. I'm kind of like, I don't know. I'd take the car.
All right. I need you guys to pick a concert to attend.
Okay.
Pick a concert to attend? Mm-hmm. Right now? In like with today's music or? Oh, my bad.
I'll give you the concert. You tell me which one you're going to. Concert A. Prince, Whitney Houston, Kendrick Lamar, Nas, Usher, Lauryn Hill. Concert B, Stevie Wonder, Jay-Z, Beyonce, J. Cole, Kanye, Rihanna. Concert C, Michael Jackson, Biggie Smalls, Drake, Mariah Carey, Janet Jackson, Chris Brown.
I would do A.
You said Michael Jackson, you said Drake, and you said Mariah.
The old Mariah was good, but.
Which you think she's gonna sing her old Mariah songs?
If she can still sing them. Yeah. Oh no.
Well, Michael Jackson's dead, so technically you have to think that we're going back to prime here.
Okay, well, in that case, I can understand that.
But wait.
Most deaf.
I don't like Prince at all.
Still sing them though? Are you thinking? Huh? If she can still sing them?
Right.
She can't hit that high note no more.
I feel like she's gone downhill.
Really? I mean, I haven't heard her. I mean, it's been a long time.
That's why, because she's not good.
Oh, man.
Not anymore.
Yeah,
wow.
She doesn't, she can't.
Has she made any new stuff?
No.
Does she have to?
No, I'm just asking.
No.
Has she made, so how do you know her voice? I mean,
because her, like, latest, which was a long time ago. Remember she got caught like lip singing and stuff? She couldn't sing.
Oh, okay.
Long time ago. And it was just, oh, and then when she did it, it was off. It didn't sound good at all.
Okay, but there was a discrepancy. It sounds like you guys are
plus her personality bugs me. Sorry.
Oh really?
Really?
Yeah.
What about her I'm not here to advocate for a person. I don't know her personal, but what about it?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I just think, I don't know. She's just a little too, I don't know if sexual is the right word, but she really like is all about herself. And she's very like, I don't know.
Like diva.
Yeah, she's very deep. Yeah, and the way she talked, I don't know, I just didn't.
So just so that we're, because this is on record, you're not going to see Michael Jackson perform because Mariah Carey is on card.
No. I would go see Michael Jackson if Mariah Carey.
No, but you picked A. So
okay.
I did pick A.
Which is not a bad lineup. You're gonna see Prince, you're gonna see Whitney, you're gonna see Nas, Kendrick, Usher, Lauryn Hill if she makes it, because she's
They're all great. Yeah.
All great.
Mm-hmm.
Not Michael.
That's true. It's not Michael.
And you get his sister in the same concert. Michael and Janet.
Hey, you know what's even crazy? There's a lot of people clown on Drake, but he has bangers.
No, he does. Yeah.
Drake got bangers.
And he's a great, he puts on a great concert. That concert is like 12 hours long. Like no one's got a 30-minute set. Everyone gets their own concert. Chris Brown.
Was Chris Brown in mine? In C?
NC, yeah.
Chris Brown.
Yeah, Chris Brown.
Who do you say
is the headliner? We all know that the coming attraction is Michael, but who's headlining? Yeah. Is it Biggie, Drake, Mariah, Janet, or Chris Brown? Who's the first performer?
I gotta say Mariah.
Mariah comes out first.
Mm-hmm.
I say Chris Brown.
Yeah, it's gotta be Chris Brown. He's the youngest.
Yep. I think Chris Brown too.
Either Chris Brown or Drake.
And he's not as legendary as all the other ones.
No, not at all. Like, not even close.
I mean, he's great, but he's not Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson.
Right. I mean, Mike is there, so that's a win. I don't know how he came up with this lineup. But B was completely, shouldn't even be on the list, in my opinion.
Whoa!
I said it, and I said what I said. He shouldn't even be considered.
Stevie Wonder.
He's amazing.
What are you talking about? Jay-Z, Beyonce, J. Cole, Kanye, Rihanna. We're just kicking that to the curb. They're playing at the Showbox. They're not playing.
I mean, the Showbox goes down though, so. But this, no, they're going to be at the top. This is not, I don't know. It's if you look at the lineups, so like everyone you just named, I'm going to listen to them, right? I listen to all that, but am I trying to go to a rap concert? That's what that is. B is a rap concert. A and B, A and C are not necessarily rap concerts. Look at that again.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, no argument.
I've always, my entire life. Like my entire youth, I've always steered away from rap concerts.
Huh? Wait, what? Hold on. Wait.
Rap concerts, like I always went to a concert to pick up females, right? You go to a rap concert, 9 times out of 10, I mean, there's gonna be females there, but it's also like little thug dudes trying to shoot. I'm like, I'm not trying to get shot. No, but I'm good.
There's only 3 of them that are rappers.
Jay-Z, Kanye, J. Cole.
That's it.
And who else?
Stevie Beyonce. Wonder.
Beyonce. Beyonce's not a rapper.
Beyonce and Rihanna both make multiple songs that. No, they're not. But anyways, it's still. I said what I said.
There's only 3 of them that I have.
Straight.
I do like the old Mariah. I do like her, but I don't know.
And you have Kendrick Lamar and Nas in a Prince concert. That's a lot of rap going on between the two of those. And technically 3, because Lauryn Hill's rap as well.
I guess I'm saying that because I don't really like Jay-Z and Beyonce like that. I don't like the level that they've reached. I've never been a Queen Bee or whatever you want to call it. I never thought Jay-Z was
part of the Beehive.
The Beehive. I never thought Jay-Z was anywhere near one of the greatest. Yeah, I mean, he's nice. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, like the greatest. Like he had audacity to get out the top of my. No one could touch him in the verses. Like, bro, shut up. Stop it.
Who could put together 20 against Jay-Z to win a versus?
Well, for one thing, Drake can. Can he not?
No.
Drake got bangers.
I didn't say. That wasn't the question. I didn't ask who has bangers. There's plenty of people who have bangers. I said, who can put together 20 that can beat Jay-Z?
Okay, Drake, Lil Wayne. You don't think Lil Wayne can?
I don't even like Lil. Absolutely not.
I don't like Lil Wayne. He can. He could absolutely put together. What? Well, look up at how many. Top
I don't four care is. If it's Lil Wayne, Country Wayne, John Wayne, Bruce Wayne. All of them take a L.
Right. So it's funny you say that. But Lil Wayne has how many top 40 hits he's got? He got like 60 or 70. My man can find 20 of those top 40. I guarantee. Okay.
All right. You know who has more number ones Jay-Z than Jay-Z?
Oh, who has more than him?
Yeah.
Probably like Michael Jackson.
Nope.
The Beatles.
The Beatles. That's it. There you go. The Beatles. That's it.
So that's because Jay-Z.
If he just takes his number ones, mm-hmm. which the verses is not just songs. Verses are songs that you've done, features you've done, songs that you've written on or produced. People forget all these different things. Jay-Z has his hands on a lot of music.
Yeah.
And whatever you play, and the way the verses goes, one of us is going to go first for the first 10 songs. Then the back 10, we flip. So do you choose to kick or receive? Because if you choose to kick and you let me start it off, now you have to play something that counters what I have to offer at Jay-Z. Jay-Z's going to grab the crowd on the first song.
We're going off of production, though.
Time out. If you say, no, I want to receive, then Jay-Z's going to allow you to go first. And like the quintessential boxer that he is, he's going to already know, all right, he's probably going to go with this song or that song. Cue the DJ. If he plays this song, go here. If he plays that song, go here. So then he'll steal the crowd from you. And by the time you get to the second half, it doesn't matter. There is no one out here that can compete with Jay-Z in a versus. No one. That doesn't mean that there's no one out there with bangers. It doesn't mean that there's no one out there with songs. It hits. None of that. I've had this discussion 101 times. If Lil Wayne plays Mrs. Officer, he has killed himself. I'm sure you like this song. But when he says, beat it like a cousin, Roddy King, Jay-Z's, all he has to do is drop public service announcement and walk the hell off stage. Like, this is not a conversation. This is not a conversation.
I think he's pretty great, too. He's very talented.
Well, I didn't say he isn't. I said he's nice.
And the trump card of it all is when Jay-Z wants to just pull his wife out to do a quick duet and do a feature off of any of her bangers. Now he's got the women in the crowd and in on Instagram. Like, there's nothing you can do to beat Jay-Z in that realm. It's like saying that you can beat Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match. You cannot outbox Floyd Mayweather. That doesn't mean that you're not a good boxer.
That's funny you say that, because Jay-Z's taking L's. He's taken L's on his own music. Go pull up Renegade. Eminem murdered him.
Not arguing with that. I'm not saying that he even goes undefeated. He could go 20-0, but I guarantee you, whoever he goes up against is going to lose more rounds than they win. 100%.
I think 100%. I know, no, unless they actually do it, I don't know if they'll do it in real life, but I will find an artist. I will find 20 bars or 20 songs. You go find Jay-Z's 20 songs. Let's put it to the test. Not right now.
No, not right now. We'll set it up. Me and you will set it up. You can pick whomever. You can even
believe in my heart.
A plethora of artists and pick 20 songs. I guarantee you I can pick 20 Jay-Z songs and slaughter your list.
That's so crazy. In order for that to happen, I have to like all the songs you choose, though, right?
No, it's not up to my opinion or yours. We go to the public and say, all right.
People.
Let the people decide. And I guarantee you, my list will win. Not because of anything I did.
Let's do it.
Because Jay-Z is that great
as
a musical artist.
Let's do it.
All right. Game. Blast. You heard it here, folks. We're going to have a bout. Jay-Z may not do the verses in real life, but I will be his spokesperson and go up against Marcus's whack.
I might just choose Drake, and I'm gonna show you how Drake got.
If you choose Drake, you're gonna lose.
I'm saying, like,
you're gonna Drake's lose.
Drake's influenced an entire generation, no matter what people like to say.
He's Jay-Z influenced Drake. That's Drake. Why Drake has put him on several songs.
Neither here.
I'm going to play Jay-Z's verses off of Drake's songs against Drake.
And then I will play Dosé's song back. How about that?
Do you want the MTV Unplugged version of Takeover, or do you want the actual version of Takeover? Like, come on, man. I got acapellos. We got mixtapes. We got features. What do you want? Something for the ladies? Him and Mariah Carey made bangers together.
You bring whatever you think the top. He did make bangers together. That's a true story. But you bring whatever you think the top 20 is, and let's see.
What I'll bring is a top 40 to be able to counter anything that you bring, so I can audible out and feel around. There's no way. Like, this conversation can go on forever. We'll just put it to the test. You and I will carve out time to do this, and it's going to be great.
Let's do it.
Live stream coming, folks.
I like it a lot.
All right. Well, thank you guys. We can go on and on about this concert. Thank you guys for joining us, though. Puzzle of Love podcast. You guys can find us on any streaming service that you consume music or podcasts. Certainly watch us on YouTube. All of our tags are below. Go ahead and click on the links or search us on the social medias, Facebook, Twitter. Where else we at? Instagram, YouTube. Email us. Talk to us. We talk back. Peace.